good evening, men of the Northwest region. I bring you a jet lag message from Brooklyn, New York. And it's great to be here and be with some of my best friends in the whole world, Justin, Dalapo, and all you guys. You know, my brother from a different mother, you know, he knows who he is, Paul Smith. And today, how many minutes do I have for this thing? I can stay here all night. Okay. I will turn your Bible to James chapter 1, and I am making a trip around Southern Africa. My wife is here with me also, and tomorrow we head out to Zim, and then we'll come back, go to Mozambique, and we'll come back, we'll go back to New York. I'm in James chapter 1, verse 2. Let's just get into it, and as we talk, I will be able to hopefully explain, you know, some of these things. James 1 verse 2 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You know, as you read this passage, I know we had fun tonight doing the Bible quiz and everything. As we read this passage, and something keeps coming to my mind, how can you consider pure joy something that makes you feel pain? How can you consider pure joy something that makes you wish that it's better to die than to live? Now, he didn't say, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever someone else in the fellowship faces trials of many kinds. He didn't say that. In the New Living Translation, he said, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Now Romans 8:28 tells us that God works in all things for the good of those who love him. God works in all things for the good of those who love him. The goal of suffering, troubles, and pain is not just for you to persevere. I've seen brothers here that have persevered. My brother Muheti has persevered. My brother Dalapo has persevered. Perseverance is not a goal of every disciple. Perseverance must finish its work. Perseverance leads to spiritual maturity. If you're persevering, that's not the end of it. If you're walking through hell, don't stop walking, keep on walking, because you're going to get out on the other side. There are stages in spiritual development that you will never reach in your Christian life unless you go through many serious refining. And your refining doesn't always mean that you are in sin. You look at Job; he was was refined. Paul was refined. Jesus himself, that will follow our Messiah, was refined. When we face troubles, it gives God a chance to work, and it gives us a chance to grow and mature. As I drove around Johannesburg today, I said, wow, there are more people that have gotten nicer cars since I was here last time. Nicer houses and everything. And that's a good thing. I said, we're doing well in our country here. But how many of us are comfortable being uncomfortable? How many people are comfortable being uncomfortable? Which is the first thing I want to talk about. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. How many people are uncomfortable being uncomfortable? Yeah, are comfortable being uncomfortable. 1 Peter chapter 2. I didn't know I was going to be preaching tonight, so whatever happens here, I take no responsibility, okay? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, to this you are called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. You know, pain makes me uncomfortable. And brothers, I've experienced a level of pain that I cannot describe to you. I've experienced a type of pain that kills 5,000 men in the United States every year. The Bible talks about the sufferings of Jesus. And Jesus suffered not because he committed any kind of sin. Now, I suffered a lot of times because I committed sin. Jesus suffered because suffering is a part of life's realities. And Jesus taught us how to suffer, how to be comfortable being uncomfortable. You know, we say that life is hard, and then we die. That's the impression people have. And sometimes our lives get complicated very fast, and we are uncomfortable being uncomfortable. As humans, as men, we find the passage into the unknown very repulsive. We hate pain. Pain creates conflicts in our lives, and the consequences may even spill over and hurt the people we love the most in this world. Sometimes men, married men, who might feel pain, and the way we deal with the pain creates a problem where we'll stop loving our wives. We'll stop loving our wives, and then our wives react to us not loving them, and they become disrespectful, because a woman's greatest need is to feel loved, and a man's greatest need is to feel respected. When a woman doesn't feel loved by her husband, she reacts by being disrespectful to her husband. When a man doesn't feel respected by his wife, he reacts by not being loving towards her. And what it does, it creates a crazy cycle in that marriage. So that's what happens a lot of times. That creates pain in a marriage. It creates conflicts. And it spills over. And the kids see what's going on. And the kids worry about what's going on. As many of you guys know, I have cancer. And I'm not getting well. I'm not getting better. Actually, I am stage 4 right now. Now, looking at me, you can't see it. Somebody, I don't look sick, but I am very sick. I feel a lot of pain in my body. The cancer is spreading to my ribs right now. And that's one reason why I'm making these trips, because I don't know if I will ever get a chance to come back. God willing, I would like to come for the anniversary. Justin invited me, and I'm so excited, because I feel like these things give me hope to look forward to something I can go to. And hopefully I can come in April, because the fact that I'm still physically alive doesn't mean I can come, because that's a 16-hour trip from New York, come over here. So I got all this stuff going on, and you feel like, well, I can't say something that happened to somebody else. You work out, you eat right, you come to church, life is good, and then something bad happens to you, and you're like, why me? Why this is happening to me? Why should some people have cancer and then other people don't? Why should some people, you know, have all the money in the whole world and other people don't? Why should some people have great marriages and other people don't? So I said to myself, you know, if I'm not the one who has cancer, then who else is supposed to have it? Why should it be somebody else? You know, there's this belief that life and this world we live in owe us something. No, life and this world were here before we came. And the world will still be here after we are gone. Get comfortable with that. There are trials in life. Get used to that. We cannot have this flimsy outlook about life and think that decisions we make in life doesn't carry consequences. If you live beyond your means, it carries financial consequences and relational consequences. You know that. You know, in this day and age, for the young people, it's very tempting to pat yourself on the back and believe that you have 500 friends on Facebook. You don't. Nobody has 500 friends. On the other hand, many people complain too much about life. Life is so unfair. I just have so much going on in my life right now. I'm like, why is life the bad guy? You are alive. You are here laughing. The Springboks are winning. What are you talking about? Life is good in South Africa today. You get to watch the game for free on your TV. For me to watch the Springboks play, I had to pay $65 for one game to watch it on TV in New York. So you see why I'm here. You see one reason why I'm here. So I can watch it for free. I can see the semifinals with New Zealand, you know, for free. It's on Saturday, right? It's a Saturday game, right? I'll be in Zim, man. I don't care what the church is doing in Zim. I'm watching the game, okay? You know, there are people in the hospitals right now fighting for their lives. People fighting for their lives. And we have it good. We have it good right here. You might say, you have issues, my marriage, my kids, my this, my that. There are people that wish they have the life you have right now. They wish they have your life. So get comfortable being uncomfortable. Secondly, look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 14. It says, do everything without complaining or arguing, so you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. As you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. Count your blessings, not your disappointments. Count your blessings, not your disappointments. You know, we have people here that work hard. We have the Rentons, you know, working hard for you. We have Paul Smith working hard for you. You know, we have people in the ministry, we have Verona, they're working hard, you know. And I think sometimes, I guess because I'm very sick right now, that I begin to appreciate those who serve in the full-time ministry more. Because I am in the full-time ministry. I lead a ministry in New York. And I know it's tough to do what the full-time people do. And I appreciate your heart, because it dawns on me that in a full-time ministry is a calling, not a job. It's a calling from God. I think sometimes we don't appreciate those that the Lord has put over us to lead us. That the Lord is doing full-time ministry for free in Soweto right now. You know, everything in life is about perspective. Sometimes it's not even the big things that break a person's will to succeed or desire to win. Sometimes seemingly minor setbacks can create psychological and spiritual meltdown in people that have lost spiritual perspective. Everything in life doesn't have to feel good. Everything in life doesn't have to feel good. You don't have to have what your neighbor has. A person's commitment, or rather, a person's contentment is not contingent on the state of affairs, but on the state of his heart. As a person thinks, so is that person. From my personal point of view, we seldom see the whole picture. So I want you to just move around some. Examine, ask, change. Some of us are not living. Why die before you are dead? You gotta live some. Right now, I'm beginning to live my life. I feel like this cancer I have is actually my salvation. In a lot of ways, it's my salvation. You know what happened? When I was first diagnosed with this illness, I was everything just went crazy. This is my perspective on this, about death. I believe that God created us, and He knew the day we're going to die. But you know what? Who can speed the process? Who can speed the process and actually die before our time? Let me explain something. Our mind can go crazy. The week after I was diagnosed, I was going to my doctor to follow up. And you guys probably read this on the book I wrote. I was going to see him in his clinic, not in the personal clinic, not in the hospital. So I was going and got my GPS on. GPS took me to this place. And it wasn't the doctor's clinic. It was a funeral home. And that's not the end of it. The following week, I go to staff meeting. One brother says, "Hey, Nietzsche, how did your autopsy go? Instead of biopsy." That's a big difference between biopsy and autopsy. I said, "Brother, biopsy. And I started getting flyers from this funeral, cemetery, in the town where we live, telling me to buy my piece of plot before it's too late. In the midst of all that stuff, it's very easy to be ungrateful to the giver of life because we spend too much time comparing ourselves to other people. So I said, so why not me? We need to see complaining, whether it's complaining like that's earmarked towards our spiritual leaders, or complain about a country, or complain about the leaders of the country, or about the weather, or complain about your sports team. We need to see it, or your family, or your spouse. We need to see complaining as a moral failure and a show of self-indulgence. It will not only affect us, it will also affect our children and the relationship they're going to have in the future. You can choose to do what's right. But some of them have said, "But Nietzsche, what about how I feel?" Have you ever thought about that? If you choose to do what's right, your feelings is going to follow your decision. "But I just want to be happy." What does that even mean? What does happy mean? To me, happiness is just like the weather. It's never good. Just a few weeks ago, it was hot in New York. People were complaining it's too hot. Now, I left New York by 8 degrees centigrade now. It's October. We are freezing in New York in October. And it's not even winter yet. It's not even fall yet. So what's going to happen when it starts snowing? What is minus 10 degrees centigrade? What's going to happen? And I was working out in the gym the other day, and some guys were like, "Man, you look good. I wish I had that body you have." I said, "I wish you have it too." Because sometimes, the grass is always greener on the other side. You want the life somebody else is living. You want the car somebody else is driving. You want the house somebody else is living in. You don't know how much they still owe on those things. You don't know how the sleepless night, the marital problems they're having, so that it can look like that or drive those cars. You don't know. Count your blessings, not your disappointments. God has given me many blessings. My salvation, my beautiful wife, my 3 kids. You guys get to meet Stephen. He's doing very well. Andrew is doing very well. Daughter is doing very well. The church, a chance to come and visit. I never thought I would come back here. The elders in New York has given me a blank check. He said, "Nietzsche, wherever you want to go on this earth, go. You go, travel, do your thing." Because they know my time is very short. So with all these blessings, I get to come here. I didn't know it was going to be in the Northwest today. It was not planned. But I showed up here. I didn't know Paul Smith would show up. I never thought I would see Paul Smith again. I was happy to see my brother Willie Duplessis. It makes me happy to see men who are still faithful, fighting for God. Donnie Voss is still here, faithful, fighting for God. So with all these blessings part of my life, why shouldn't I accept a few minor inconveniences like cancer? They're just minor inconveniences. I get to go to Zim tomorrow. Are you kidding me? I'm going to Zim, man. And I'm going by road to Mozambique. Why not? I might never get to do that again, so I'm going by road. Let's close this out. One more thing. Don't waste your sufferings. You know, in Job chapter 2, verse 10, you know, when Job was going through his own pain and sufferings and disappointments, his wife was driving him crazy. He said, curse God and die. You know, just do something crazy. And Job says, shall we accept good from God and not trouble? Wow. That's a deep spiritual statement. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? We need to be careful. That what we may see as encouragement doesn't turn into a junk food of sympathy and feed the poor me attitude. Granted, since we are human, it's very easy for emotions to supersede reason. We all cope in different ways. Listen, guys, I'm not trying to be a hero, okay? I'm a sinner. I have a messed up heart. My mind is messed up. I'm in sin. So, I feel like one reason why God gave me, or rather, one reason why God allowed me to have this cancer that the doctor said will kill me, ultimately, the prognosis is not good. One reason why is so that my soul can be saved on the last day. I am undergoing a treatment and medical trials right now. They're not curative treatments. It's not even approved by the Food and Drug Administration in America. It's a clinical trial. And it's not to cure me, but to basically make me a lab rat, I'm a guinea pig. Hopefully, they will use my results to help other people who are going to come after me after I die. So I sign up for that. And what it does is like it destroys my testosterone production. So the average male produces between 300 to about 900 plus whatever. That's the range for testosterone production, testosterone in average man, from maybe 18-year-old man to maybe a 75-year-old man. My testosterone production is less than 3. That means what I'm doing right now, I shouldn't be doing. I couldn't be doing. Because testosterone gives the man his strength, his manhood. So what I'm doing right now is actually impossible. To do what I do, run a ministry, and do whatever, the doctors are completely amazed. But it's all good. Because no God gives me strength, and the God that gives me strength gives you strength also. Like I said, I'm not trying to be a hero. They might ask so many questions. Life demands from us the strength we have. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Cancer is a temptation that is common to man. It is common. I'm not the first one that will die from it. I won't be the last one that will die from it. Unfortunately, as we experience pain, we tend to look at God in a more negative way. How could a loving God allow something so incomprehensibly painful to happen to me? Come on. The fact that you love somebody doesn't mean you try to move pain away from them. It's okay. It's okay. And in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4, the Bible talks about comfort. Like God comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in their troubles. I don't want to waste my sufferings. I don't want to waste my sufferings. Instead of wasting it I want to form a comfort and chain reaction. The world talks about downward progression. So that means when something bad happens, it almost always leads to something else bad happening. But we should be talking about upward progression. If something bad happens, it doesn't have to lead to something else bad. We can make the most out of that thing that's bad, find out the lessons God wants us to learn from it, and turn our lives into a blessing to other people. And that's what I've been trying to do the last couple of years. You know, think about it. All this time that I've had this cancer, and I've been going to all these medical tests, I haven't gotten one piece of good news. All the numbers have been bad. All the numbers have been bad. But I said to myself, what I need is an upward spiral. I want to provide comfort to those who are suffering. So I've been traveling. I just came back from Charleston, South Carolina, and I'm going to North. I'm going to Virginia in a few weeks. We have Tom Ziegler, he's part of ministry over there, so I'm going to go over there and speak over there. And I might go to Greensboro, North Carolina also. So I've been doing a lot of traveling now because a lot of different ministries are inviting me to come over here and talk. Because in our churches, there's so many people who are sick. There's so many people who are dying. And they just need to talk. And it's incredible to go to talk. I never thought that men have breast cancer. I never thought that. But I've seen disciples, men, who have breast cancer. I never thought it was possible. So I'm seeing illnesses that I never thought was possible. You see, I have cancer. The cancer doesn't have me. It doesn't have me. It thought it did, but it didn't have me. I may get knocked down by cancer or by some other illness, because now this medical trial I'm getting has gotten a little bit of bad numbers down, which is good news, but now it's affecting my liver. And you guys who are doctors here know that's bad news. Just like, okay, great. You can win, you know? But I get a chance not to waste my sufferings, though. What do you do with your sufferings? What do you do with your disappointments? When things go bad in your life, what do you do with it? Do you go into a binge of complaining and whining, blaming people? Is that what you do? You see, my destiny is not written for me. My destiny is written by me. Why? Well, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. My life's issues don't define me. My dreams do. What defines you today? Sympathy and empathy. They're all good things. And we need to show those things to people who are hurting. There's so many people who are hurting in this world. You might not see it. People see me and be like, man, you look great. On the outside, I might look good. But on the inside, I know what's going on. And I see the results. And I know how I feel. And I see it. It affects me in everything. However, sympathy can become like junk food. It's okay to eat junk food every now and then, but don't get used to it. Junk food is loaded down with calories, doesn't fill you up for a long time. Don't sit around waiting for people to pour sympathy into your lap. If you have a marriage problem,